I love the way people feel at Christmas. Most people, I know people, some people get a rough time at Christmas or whatever, but the majority of people, it makes me smile. I love the colours, I love the lights, I love the humour it puts people into.
Welcome to The Gab, a fortnightly podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This is episode 12. Who would organise a Christmas event in June? Well, there is one name that comes to mind, Barbara Dowling. This Kerry woman, living in Longford, is positivity personified. An accomplished musician and teacher, she faced many health obstacles over the past 3 years with great determination and wit. Listen to her story as she speaks of coincidence, Brain Tumour Ireland, and a bonkers idea that has come to fruition. Well, all that's left for me to say is, Merry Christmas. Hello, everybody, and you're very welcome to podcast number 12 with The Gab. Great to have you. Thanks a lot for joining me today. Wherever you are throughout the world, whatever time of day or night it is, you're very, very welcome indeed. I'm here with a wonderful lady, a lady that I have to say I'm a better person for knowing, is the best way to put it. Her name is Barbara Dowling. Barbara is a great musician. She's a great mom, wife as well, of course, and she has a wonderful family behind her. She's a Kerry woman on top of it all. We won't hold that against her, we promise. She has been in the army. She was involved in the army band, and she's involved in musical theatre. I think no more than my own wife at home, Barbara has seen me pretty much in every single emotion possible, vulnerable, happy, sad, angry, whereas I was directing the show and she was very much in a wonderful orchestra just in front of the stage as well, playing away. So Barbara, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come down from Moat today, I presume. Would I say Moat?
No, if you said Longford, you might get it in the right direction.
Right, okay.
But well, you would have been right. I did live in Moat, so we won't hold that against
us. We won't hold that against us. Lovely. Great to have you. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thanks a million for having me.
As always, you're smiling, and I think your positivity always stretches across a room, and no matter where you are and what you do, you always bring a great bit of life to the room. And I think over the last 2 years, 3 years pretty much, that we'll talk about very, very shortly, I think the humour that you're normally in has got you over that.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer. Life's too short to have a miserable head on you. You can smile just as easily as put a puss on you.
Exactly. Well, look, I'll take that. And if anybody else is listening out there, take that as a sound piece of advice on top of it. Now, we've often heard of 48 hours pretty much being a short period of time, and maybe not a whole pile changes in your life in 48 hours, but I can guarantee you it has changed a lot in Barbara Dowling's life. Let's go back. Okay, July of 2019.
Yeah.
Pretty normal year up to that, I presume, to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, yeah. Still doing everything that I was normally doing, running from here to there to here, yeah. Doing a musical, doing different things as family life, work life, the whole lot. And then went on holidays in June.
Yeah.
And over to Canada with my son, because just the two of us. My husband doesn't fly too much. So a friend of mine had emigrated over there with her twin boys, who are Oisin's best buddies. And we all tipped off, well, the two of us did over there, had a ball, except I spent the 2 weeks over there tripping over invisible lines, couldn't climb up the curb without, because I couldn't judge the height of it. And then some yoke had switched on a washing machine in my head on the spin cycle. So it was like I hadn't a clue what was going on. If I looked up, I'd fall backwards. I walked like a drunk. It was like I hadn't a clue what was going on. So I rang Paul and I just said, will you do us a favour? Will you make an appointment with the old doctor there and we'll see what the hell's going on this time?
I have a bit of vertigo or something.
Well, that's what, yeah. Mary, my friend, had said. Yeah. And sure, I said, sure, what's that and how do you fix it kind of a thing? Oh, drugs, I'm sure. That'll do. We'll sort that. And that's why the appointment was made that casually. So off we tipped to the doctor, got off the plane in Dublin, straight to Athlone, into the doctor. And he got me to stand up. I thought he was losing the plot. Stand up on one leg with my eyes closed. And I went backwards. So he stopped, held me again, tried the other leg. Same thing, fell backwards. I think we'll go for an MOT. So I was parked off to Portiuncla the following morning for 8 o'clock. And they started doing one or two tests. And at 20 to 9, I was hit with, right, we're going to admit you now. And I said, for what? Because I was under the illusion an MOT started and it finished it. And that was it. You went out and they sent you on the results or whatever. And so I spent 7 weeks between Portiuncla and then was moved into the neurology department in UHG because they had discovered I had an inoperable brain tumour, a lesion in my spine, which indicated MS, And then the neurologist said, what's that in your neck? And from one of the MRIs, I looked at her and I says, here, you doctor, me, musician, I have no idea. We'll get that looked at. And it turned out I had thyroid cancer, just to add insult to injury. So
it was literally a domino effect.
All three in one go.
And how were you throughout all that? As in, you're a very happy person under normal circumstances. Were you just taking it on the chin, or were you kind of going, whoa, slow down here, what's
exactly
going on?
The same. Exactly the same, because the way I kind of looked at it, I had an answer, because I now knew why. I walked into the hospital unaided. I got out of the hospital using a walking frame. The legs were rubber legs. Some of the lads call me still, because the legs are jelly. Some of the time, most of the time. And I still walk like a drunk, but I have me trusty buddies that keep me upright, as in the shticks, or one shtick, as we have now promoted or demoted myself, whatever way you choose to look at it. But I genuinely was pretty upbeat. I mean, I was the one that was in probably the ward the loudest. I was definitely the one that you'd hear from the other end of the corridor, and at night we'd be the ones telling the stories and laughing and keeping the whole place awake, and have been, well, ye lot, shut up inside. You know, if you can describe a hospital stint as fun, it was fun, just with a few medical bits flung in, you know, kind of distracting.
Well, I have to say, from looking at your social media, I used to love it. I used to sit down, because I'd have to take a career break nearly to sit down and read your posts, because they were so long and everything else. But on saying that, they were very informative. And I think the crazy thing about it was, you might have been going through a difficult time, but you were probably helping other people that were reading your posts getting through a difficult time too, because we were stuck in the middle of COVID through all this as well, towards the end of the year, obviously kicking into March of 2020. COVID started to kick in. Did treatment start to kick in pretty quickly, or what happened?
It kind of created a bit of a spanner, because when you get hit with those three things at the same time, and a doctor come in and say, and when did the symptoms of, you know, the MS start? And I'm looking and going, I actually haven't a clue, because I didn't know what symptoms, and I still don't know what symptoms are related to which illness, kind of, you know, that kind of a way.
Yeah.
The only thing I knew was that I could feel a lump in my neck, but that was it. I mean, I was falling. But when things were, like we'll say, officially diagnosed, a couple of dots were joined, and it made perfect sense, because all my life I have always been the one that would break every bone under the sun, would, you know, fall out of a tree, trip over a step, I was always breaking things.
Yeah.
But I was never sick, which meant in my head I was always very healthy, just that I was clumsy and I was awkward.
Yeah.
But it turns out that it was probably the MS or the brain tumour that I'd had for years and knew nothing about it, so it was affecting my balance in different ways and all those kind of, and that was the reason why all these kind of things were happening.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing about it is everything had to take precedence in order to sort that out.
Exactly.
This had to be sorted. In order to sort that, this had to be sorted.
Absolutely.
So you were probably going from post to pillar and pillar to post for a while.
Toured every department in almost every hospital now at this stage between this. But like what they did first was they kind of prioritised things. I was sent in relation to the brain tumour, Galway sent me to Beaumont to check, and that's when they discovered that was inoperable. So as far as I'm concerned, that was a case of, do you know what, okay, close that chapter, we'll move on to the next one, until I called the brain tumour Mildred, or my brain extension, depending on the humour I'm in on the day. And so the next thing to sort of get tackled as such was the thyroid. I was supposed to have that out in December of 2019, but I was kind of a bit bold, and I just sort of said, look, I'm up to my eyes. I'd been booked for a load of musicals and I didn't want to miss out on them. I'd missed a lot of work because I had been, when all this hospital stint was going on. And she kind of said, all right, when are you free? And I said, the 17th of April. And she said, right, we'll put you in for, and it was that precise. But then COVID kicked off in the middle of March.
Of course, yeah.
So that put everything to touch until July.
Yeah.
And they ripped the thyroid out, and they were supposed to take part of it out. But when she went in, she said she didn't like the look of it. So they, as it was, she took the whole thing out, and then, of course, typical Barbara in typical Barbara style, developed one of these things where my calcium level plummeted because my parathyroids, which are tiny little things in your thyroid, decided they weren't going to wake up anymore. So I developed this massive low calcium thing, which meant that both arms and legs turned into knots, and so I ended up having calcium infusions and all this sort of stuff. And as it happened, I got out of the hospital a week later and was due back for a checkup. But the day I was due for the checkup, the same thing happened. The calcium plummeted, and I ended up back in the hospital as the doctor was coming around, and she just said, came around, sat at the end of the bed, and she said, need to chat with you. And I said, go on, go for it. Now, she was lovely, real lovely lady. Mm. And she said, I'm glad I took the whole thyroid out. And, you know, when I came out, all right, she says, do you fancy a stint in another hospital? And I went, go for it. She said, St. Luke's. And I was like, so straight away you hear St. Luke's and you just think cancer, fair enough. Yeah. And but it was fine. I mean, I went in for a week. I had the radioactive iodine treatment. You get locked away completely from everything. Everything is wrapped in cellophane because everything is radioactive. Your phone is taken off, you're destroyed. Anything you have has to be destroyed. So everything you wear going in, you wear the dirtiest and the oldest clothes and shoes you have because they all get left behind and destroyed. But it's grand. Like, the February just gone now, it was a year later, and we got the all clear. So we know.
And how are you feeling?
Grand, actually, to be honest with you. I still, to this day, and I've always said it, I feel like a fraud because I'm not sick. I mean, for me, someone that's sick, they're curled up on a ball and they're physically not able to do anything. I can do most things. I mightn't do them brilliantly, but I can do everything. I feel great. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
I know. Do you ever sit down in front of the television at home and kind of go on a kind of a thoughtful mood and kind of go, what the hell happened over the last two and a half years?
On a regular basis, because it's now working. When you sit and you watch the television and you suddenly, so they're suddenly talking about someone with thyroid cancer and you'll get a dig, you know, going, look, wouldn't you know you were watching this and they'd be doing this to, or something else, and they go on about MS or whatever. Do you know what? I couldn't have picked a better time to be sick. Because you had to keep away from people with things, and she were away from people anyway, so it didn't make a difference. Do you know, the only thing was people saw me at the start of COVID and I had brown hair, and they saw me coming up the fire engine and I had blonde hair, you know, that was the only difference. But you know, so it was, no, you just get up and
we used to say, God, there's a new lady in the orchestra. Who's that lady with the blonde hair in the orchestra?
The good looking one that's replaced the loud one that used to be there.
She plays the same instruments as Barbara Dowling. But no, it's good to see you in good form, and thankfully you're looking great too, and fresh and healthy, which is great. But then again, you're getting great support as well. Paul is knocking about there as well. He brought you down today, and Oisin is at home, so happy out there, and a big shout out to them as well. Now, in the midst of all your friendships, and you have a lot of friendships, an awful lot, you met new friends. You met the BTI.
I did. BTI, Brain Tumor Ireland. Mm. I'd heard of, you know, like Daffodil Day for cancer people. So that's an illness that everybody's familiar with. I'd heard of the readathon for MS. So that's something everyone is familiar with. But I'd never heard of BTI, Brain Tumor Ireland. So I went and I looked up. Someone had said something about brain tumours and I just started Googling things. And I looked up and found BTI, a foundation set up by the family of Ronnie Fehely, who died of a brain tumour in 2012. So they're 10 years on the go this year. They provide support for families, carers, patients with brain tumours. It's weird because since I landed into the world of brain tumours, I had never heard of anyone with a brain tumour. And all of a sudden you're talking to people going, oh yeah, my uncle did. And it's like, hold on, this is more common. But yet it's classed as a rare illness. There's only an average about 500 people a year diagnosed with brain tumours. And 50 of those would be children, you know. So it's, while it's common, it's not common. But they're unbelievable because they get no state support whatsoever. So they rely on people to fundraise. But like, you can pick up the phone and Fiona's the lady in the office. And Fiona, where do I go to find this? And before you can bat an eyelid, the answer is there for you. And off you go. They're the people who know the people. You know that? Do you know that kind of way that it's almost as if you've known them all your life when you're talking to them. They're so clued into you as an individual. And it's not just you, it's you and your family. So they know exactly, like, the circle you're in. And they're amazing.
There's a very human nature to them. And
that's exactly
that's
what it is. That's
and obviously,
exactly, yeah.
They were pretty much set up by a person that had experienced the situation
absolutely,
too. So you had a double whammy there on that. Mm-hmm. Now, believe me, having a brain tumour is not the only thing that you had in common with Ronnie Fehely either.
Yeah.
It's because you both like a season of the year that we all love.
Yeah.
And let's put it this way, any time that I've ever done a show at Christmas, let's put it this way, you definitely know that Barbara's in the orchestra. You could have tinsel, you could have tights, you could have boots, shoes, you name it, and Santa Claus is absolutely everywhere.
Absolutely.
So this was right up your alley, pretty
much.
Tell us a little bit about Christmas in June for Brain Tumour Ireland.
Yeah. Again, back to the whole... Right, long story. Well, I'll cut it short. A couple of years ago, I was in the car going to a show, as have done for the last number of years. And two friends of mine, one driving, I was a passenger, another one in the back. Ironically, I think we were going down to June to do a show.
All right, okay.
Because knowing the personnel that was in the car that would have been needed for that. And the driver, Paul, turned around and he says, here, you that's into Christmas music, stick that on and listen to it. He'd been given a present of a CD, so stuck it on and listened to it. Oh my God, the arrangements of these are the most amazing Christmas music I had ever heard. And I just piped up, how do we get to play this, Linda, in the back? And she said, do what you usually do, throw a group together. So that kind of planted the seed. And... originally what's going on, I had planned on doing for another group. But I didn't like just the things I was reading up about this other charity. And the whole thing was shelved. And then, of course, I got sick. And I got a phone call from a mutual friend of ours, Stephen Mackey, who had said, go look this up and see what's here. And it was The Brain Tumor Ireland by Ronnie Fehaly. And there was an article in it from one of the Sunday papers all about her and that. And one of the lines on it was, Ronnie loved Christmas. And she held on. She was diagnosed, I think, in November and she passed away in January. So she held on to cover the whole group because she loved Christmas for her family. And that was it. It was like, that's it. This is meant to be. So I rang Brain Tumor Ireland and spoke to Fiona for the first time. And I just explained who I was. And, you know, look, you might get a bit few quid out of it and we might make a bit more of an awareness for Brain Tumor Ireland. And she laughed and she said, I think it's the most bonkers idea I have ever heard. But we have a board meeting coming up and I'll run it by them. Which she did. And she came back and she said, Barbara, they thought exactly the same thing. But the part that sewed it in for me was she said, the only way they'll agree to letting you do this is that you're well enough to do it. And that straight away, I was sold because it meant they weren't looking at the money that might be made. They were looking at the person that was trying to do it and how I was. And that just sold straight away. I was sold. There was no holding me back at that stage. So Christmas in June was born in January 2019. 2020, I think it was.
Isn't it fantastic, though? I don't know so much, is it? I think it's fantastic. I really do. And anybody I've spoken to about this thinks it is the most fantastic ideas. And the crazy thing about it is, and take this up the nicest way possible, but any times that people mention bonkers to me, your name would sometimes come up
would
in
fit
conversation.
Into the sentence,
so
yeah.
It's quite apt that you are the person that's running this, which is great. Now, it's going to be phenomenal. Let's be honest here. Yeah. You have a wonderful venue in the to Arena in Waterford. It's just going to be brilliant. It's on the 26th of June. And the booklet, before I move on, is one of the most well put together pieces I think I've seen. And well, a lovely picture of your old dial there as well in it.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Well, just the irony of the whole thing is that the friend that I was in Vancouver with, she designed it.
All right. Okay.
She designed it for us, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means a lot in itself.
And that's the thing with this whole mad lunatic concert. There are so many hidden little links of things people have done. Like I was at Mary, who was the one who diagnosed me out there that it was vertigo ahead. She designed the program.
Yeah, so it's all kind of marrying in
perfectly.
Absolutely, yeah, it really is.
Absolutely.
Now, just to let people know, first of all, about what's going on, you're talking about consisting of an orchestra of 200 plus, choir 400 plus, children's choir, the Polar Express. Is that Polar Express happening?
It sure is.
Oh, yes. Well, I knew it would. Knowing you, you wanted that.
We even have a train to be put into the place because there's... Yeah.
You're on the right track straight away. Dr. Kevin O'Carroll then will conduct.
Yeah.
That's just going to be fantastic. Liam Daly will conduct the orchestra as well. So it's just brilliant. And Maria Mason is there as well.
She's the leader.
The whole shooting caboodle is just going to be really lovely. And Evelyn Grant from RT Lyric FM is going to be standing up there with you.
She is.
Doing the honours.
Yes. I wasn't really trying to let that one out public yet about the fact that I'm going to be doing it with her because I'd say people go, oh, sweet God, they're letting Barbara loose in front of an audience now. Never mind on the airwaves this way, but like in front of an audience. Evelyn and myself have been friends for years and years from my days in Cork. And so, yeah, I picked up the phone. I just said she was on her way into studio at the time. She's with Lyric FM. And she, I said, come here, how are you fixed for, of course, put me down. And her daughter Jean is a concert harpist. She's coming over from London to play in it. So...
Now, we do, of course, want bums on seats at it, which is most important. It's a fine venue. It's a big
it's
venue.
It's fabulous.
It's
and
gorgeous.
We're the first group to go into it after COVID. The HSE moved out this weekend and we're the first concert of any district
really
to go into
special.
The venue. Yeah, it's brilliant.
It really will.
Yeah.
Now, of course, through the musical theatre and, of course, your school of music as well, because you're a wonderful music teacher and a very accomplished musician and teacher, I think this is just going to be something very special. You're going to have a lot of people there, lot of people there, and it's just going to be really lovely.
Just to throw something at you that I'm not sure you were aware of, have you heard of Emer Noon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course I have.
Emer's conducting as well. The first woman to ever conduct in the Oscars, and she's conducting us all at her own expense. Everyone that's taking part in this is paying to do it so that all the money goes to Brain Tumor Ireland. And Emer is actually conducting the Polar Express and the piece that I'd heard in the car. She's conducting that one as well. So, and like, Emer's a Galway woman.
She is a Galway woman. That's really, really cool.
Isn't
because I only spoke about Emer on, obviously, during the time of the Oscars. Like, we were so... pumped, if you want to call it. In the right. Privilege. Mm-hmm. And she's so so animated as well. She's fabulous.
And she's a gorgeous person. You know, she's the skinny, polite version of me. She's a bit of crack in her. She's great. She's lovely. Lovely woman.
She really is. Something I read, and I want to ask you about it, because I suppose we'd be very open as friends along the line.
I'm really afraid of what you're going to come up with here.
No, mind you. No, sometimes I kind of think a bit deep.
All right.
I'll be totally honest with you. I do a little
bit. I didn't think that
ability
sometimes. I'd be impressed, I think.
Sometimes I do a bit of straight theatre too, you know.
Do you?
But it says, why do I want to do this concert in June? Simply because not everyone can wait for Christmas.
Yeah.
Did you mean that on two levels?
Yeah, absolutely. Purely for the fun side of it, everyone can't wait for Christmas, is nearly there. And then you're hit, like my wonderful friend Mildred, as she's called, the brain tumour, she will turn cancerous at some stage. That could happen tomorrow, that could happen next week, could happen in 6 months, could happen in 20 years. We don't know. I don't want to miss Christmas.
Yeah.
And we missed out on a lot over Christmases, you know, with what's gone on over the last 2 years, you know, with COVID and that. And yeah. Not everyone can wait for Christmas.
No. So it's when I read it that it kind of just struck me. Sometimes you get stopped.
Yeah.
stopped in track.
That stops that. And that genuinely does seem to stop people. Especially like when I started looking for people to do this, would they be interested in doing this? There wasn't one negative thing, you know, except for one email that I got from a complete stranger. Do you not think it's very odd to be having a Christmas concert in the middle of the summer? And I went, yeah, but I got bold. And of course, I said, there's no law that actually says Christmas has to be celebrated on the 25th of December every year. Because in my case, I may not see the 25th of December. So every day is the 25th of December for me, regardless of the calendar date that's on it.
Yeah.
You know, so people get it, you know, when you kind of just go, well, and it pulls them back. So it does stop you in your tracks.
Yeah, and I think the thing about it is, you know, as you said there, cancer doesn't wait for anybody.
Not at all.
In the sense that thankfully, it can be, a lot of times it can be treated and it can be dealt with and things can be shrunk or whatever to the point that they, you know, that makes your life livable.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is it does not stop for anybody. So whatever time you have Christmas is your own business.
Absolutely. And we'll just, in September of 2019... I heard a thing on the radio where they were going on about Christmas trees. And this was August, actually. And Paul, who I've since christened Scrooge, even though he's actually not, commented, and I got straight onto the phone texting, and clear to God, I got a phone call, and I ended up on another radio station in Dublin with a certain man at 1:45 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And explained about I wanted to put up the Christmas tree and Paul wouldn't go up in the attic. I wasn't physically able to do it. My son wouldn't go up in it because he's afraid of spiders, and so the attic is spider central. So went on saying this on the radio and the programme finished, and I got a phone call at 3:15 from a man who owned a Christmas tree company. And this huge Christmas tree was delivered to the door. Now no one has to go up into the attic for you. And it was like, so the Christmas tree went up at the end of September. And it didn't come down until January just gone. I left it up for nearly 2 years.
Well,
I didn't
too
care.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why
and the angel on the top of the tree had her. I made a mask for her, so she was covered. But yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, she. You know, it's
I'm
like,
not at all surprised.
Yeah, and anyone that came near the house going, I cannot believe she actually has the Christmas tree up. Yeah, and it was only the Christmas tree. It wasn't like the whole house was just the Christmas tree in the. But it was gorgeous. The middle of the summer, you put on the Christmas tree lights. Do you know? I mean,
why
that in itself
you?
Is nuts. Like, but it was lovely. You know.
Why does Christmas mean so much to you, Barbara?
I love the way people feel at Christmas. Most people. I know some people get a rough time at Christmas or whatever, but the majority of people, it makes me smile. I love the colours. I love the lights. I love the humour it puts people into. I think a lot of us change when it gets to Christmas. You kind of become the gooder person. Best grammar you could ever use there. Do you know what I mean? There's just something. We tend to open up a little bit more at Christmas, you know, to the whole freedom and fun that is Christmas. I wouldn't be a particularly religious person, but it's what it does to families. Families come together, they probably kill each other on Christmas Day, but the lead up to it, you have all the crack, they're getting everything ready, you know, the whole, right, you peel the spuds, you do this, and everybody is involved in it. You know, I just love all
Yeah,
love
I think you're right.
That.
There's something magical about it.
There is. And that's not even going after your man in the red suit. Do you know that kind of way? That's with everything else that goes on with it. You know, we all do that little bit more with each other at Christmas.
Well, I suppose we're busy all year round as well, and it's a time where everybody gets the opportunity to be together.
Yeah.
You know, I think it really is something very, very special.
Yeah.
Look at Ray Darcy. That was very special. We spoke about a pre-podcast here, and I have to say what Ray Darcy and his crew did up in RTE during the week for you and the crew, it put you in a beautiful mindset anyway, going in to have an interview.
Absolutely. And I was bricking it going up there. I mean, I'd be reasonably confident on the outside, but inside I'd be a ball of nuts kind of a thing until get into it and then it's grand. Do you know that kind of a way?
Yeah.
And we landed up there and the hands were shaking, the leg, and it wasn't even the MS or the brain tumour we were doing. It was pure raw nerves. Trying to hold the phone, I was dropping it and I was like, oh, stop, here we go. But they wouldn't let me inside. There's two doors you go in and they wouldn't let me. The outer door was closed and I was kind of going, it's a little bit rude or whatever. Well, when they opened the door to bring me in and then they opened the second door, it was like, oh my, I literally, and the squall and the laughter that burst out of me, like, I couldn't have planned it if I tried. They had the whole place done up on Christmas. The Christmas tree was up, big tree behind me, a small tree over beside him, the tinsel hanging out, the Christmas crackers on the table. I mean, seriously, it was just, and the interview then just rocketed after that because we were in the middle of Christmas mode. Even if you tried to come out of it, you couldn't. But I couldn't believe that they thought enough would say of me, this Egypt coming on to do a thing about a Christmas concert in the middle of the summer, but they had gone all out and they'd done the whole place up.
They did, but I think, in all fairness, I know you probably don't know Ray personally or anything like that, but the thing about it is I think that the energy that you generate wherever you are is so infectious and so confident and lovely and warm that I think you cannot but buy into the Barbara Dowling School of Happiness. I think it's very, very important to know that. And obviously, you know, his team, you would have probably pre-spoken to his crew, his team, his producer. There you go. That pretty much set it up.
Yeah. She rang to ask all about it about two weeks before that. And then she said, I'll be in touch with you now, maybe a day or two before, just to go through a couple of things. And I had no idea. I can't remember what I said yesterday. So I couldn't remember what I had said to her. And then she started, and sure, when I went in, you knew they had researched everything, because even down to the music, he had found the music, the piece that I had been talking about. Everything was there. You know, it was just, it genuinely, it was magical. And they brought Paul and Oisin in, so they were able to stay outside in between those two doors and watch everything that was going on. Yeah. You know, it was super. And
I always say, the aquarium window, where you get an opportunity to look in at the goldfish.
Yeah, yeah, cute goldfish I was that day. Yeah, right.
I know, it was great. It was lovely on social media. And I would urge people to get onto your social media as well. Either you personally, to see the reaction on your face as you went in the door. Or, of course, the Christmas in June as well with the Brain Tumour Ireland. I think it's very important to check that out as well. It really is.
And it's on Facebook because I'm not techie, so I can't use stuff except Facebook. So there's a Christmas in June for Brain Tumour Ireland on Facebook. It has its own page, and then my own page, Barbara Dowling. The world and its mother sees what I'm up to. So, you know, as I say, I wear my heart in the sleeve and I apologise to no one for it.
And you're dead right. Yeah. You're brilliant, and that's why we all love you. Your sight at the moment, how are you?
I'm all right. My left sort of peripheral vision isn't the best, shall we say. I think there's a lesion in that eye now. I'm gathering them up, but they come and go, kind of a thing. You know, you could have one here today and then it's gone a couple of weeks later or whatever, which would probably explain it, right? There's quite a few dinges and scratches on the left-hand side of the car. Or, as you say, if I go to do something with the window and I miss, you know, this kind of a thing. I won't say that I'd possibly be smoking out the window, you know, as one does. But it's, anything on the left side isn't great, but it's fine. Do you know what I mean?
And the tremors, how are they going?
They're hit and miss as well. I could be sitting here talking to you and next thing you'll go, oh, here we go, and the hand will start. And it's usually my ring finger seems to be the one that kicks off, and that'll start, and then it'll spread it to the next one. It's like dominoes. And it might last 10 minutes, it might last 2 hours, it literally might go, oh, it's starting, and then it's gone. Yeah. You know, kind of a thing. And again, I have no idea if that's from the MS or the brain tumour, I haven't a clue. And I don't even ask those questions.
No.
You know,
no.
It's like, you know, I don't even ask any of the doctor's questions.
No, I suppose,
you
know, just let the professionals.
They know what they're doing.
Yes, exactly.
Just, I'm a musician, you ask me something about music and I might be able to answer, ask something medical, forget about it.
Yeah, let them do their thing, because
absolutely.
They won't do bad by you, is the best way to put it.
I'll tell you straight up now, something for nothing, we hear so much negativity about our health system in Ireland, you know, and yes, it's probably a nightmare to get into, but I have to say, from the minute I landed into it with this, I couldn't praise these people enough. Literally from the people that feed you, to the people that are mopping you, to the people who are nursing you, to the doctors, in any hospital I park myself into, usually not by choice, when you can hear the out of, you know, student doctors, and can we go talk to her? And I sit there and I said, look, you can tell I'm pretty good at the old talking. I'd sit there, you know, because it's such a complex case that I have with so many things going on, that should they have a ball sitting there and the nervous little heads and then they ask into the questions, you know, that kind of a thing. And I'd say, look, sit down and relax. And then they chill out and they can go helpful either with questions, you know. So it's yeah, I even managed to entertain them in hospitals now, you know.
Well, I've no doubt you did.
But no, in fairness, I have to say, I can't but praise our health system for what's been done with me. No stone has been left unturned. My neurologist here in Galway, like, when does a neurologist say she's going to send you for a second opinion when she's the one that's called the shots? And she sent me to Beaumont, and I did 2 weeks stint up there in the middle of the All-Ireland, mother of the, and Kerry and Galway, or Kerry and Dublin playing. Not impressed. The only time I had tickets to go to it, 4 tickets, and I couldn't go, even though they did let me out for the couple of hours.
Yeah.
I wasn't physically able to go. But that's neither here nor there now at this stage. But as she said, when I went back to her after that, she said, Barbara, usually people, I'm ringing Beaumont to find out, you know, but she said, Barbara, Beaumont are ringing me to see how I'm doing. So she said, that'll tell you how unusual what was going on with me was, you know, kind of a thing.
I think we have one of the best health systems in the world. Is the mm-hmm. infrastructure that's in place to help them and support them, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I really do. Obviously, yeah, it's to do with accommodation, it's to do with everything else. And, and they are, we've exported so many wonderful doctors, nurses,
absolutely,
to different countries
absolutely
here. You know, and it's mm-hmm. it's mad when you think of it as an overall. Looking back on the book again, and just to let everybody know where they can book tickets at this stage, where can you get the tickets?
Eventbrite.ie. If you click on that and just stick in Christmas in June, or if you like that, you go onto the Facebook page. Every time I put something up, I stick the tickets thing into it, just hop on. And again, I didn't know how to do that. So I have to wait. How do I do it? And they tell me, and off you go. So that's where you'll get the tickets.
Well, I have a very strong possibility that there's no other Christmas in June in Eventbrite, so you'll definitely find it pretty quickly.
I would imagine you'd be doing really well to find another age that does that sort of thing in the middle of the summer.
And, okay, I don't want to ask you too much about what's going on the stage, apart from what we know about the big orchestras and your wonderful band of friends that are going to be playing at it and everything else, the support system that you have there. You have great friends, let's be honest.
Absolute,
here.
Absolutely, 100%.
But are you going all out, and I mean all out Christmas, on the night?
Okay, let's just say I threw a thing out against social media. Does anyone have Christmas trees? And this is in the middle of, like, March. I'm looking for Christmas trees. But sure, no one else is using the Christmas trees in the summer. So there's people landing at the front door. Have a Christmas tree here for Barbara? Paul doesn't even know who half of them are that are landing with Christmas trees. We intend, the foyer going into that area is massive. And we intend to fill it with Christmas trees with no decoration. So it's like a little forest.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And a very good friend of mine works in the Brehon Hotel in Killarney. And I picked up the phone. We were down there over Christmas, because that's where I'm from. I went down for a day or two and rambled out there and walked into the foyer, and I looked at this tree in the foyer. What are my chances? So I asked, got onto him, and I said, can I borrow that tree? And he went, the big one? I said, yeah, the big one. I'll check. It's a 30-foot Christmas tree. And they gave it to me.
Of course they did.
They're
hardly going to say no to you.
Most people say you'd be afraid to say no to her. I would hope I wouldn't be that bad. But we have a 30-foot Christmas that takes 13 hours to put up. We had to hire a scissors lift and have someone qualified to do it. Yeah. So that's going into the main hall in the thick of the orchestra. Yeah.
In the orchestra.
Yeah. We have a train because we're playing the Polar Express. So why wouldn't you have a train? I asked people at Christmas, because I knew you wouldn't be able to get this stuff in the middle of the summer, anybody that gets Christmas cards, will you keep them for me? And people are going, what is she? Well, if you go into any house in the country at Christmas, there's always Christmas cards hanging around the walls. And this arena has massive, massive concrete walls. And I just said, we might as well brighten them up with Christmas cards. I swear to God, I think I've about 4,000 Christmas trees in bags and boxes at home. So, yeah, so we're going all out doing it up.
Oh, that is fantastic. It really is. But the other thing about it is, as you said, you're going to be the first event in there since COVID.
Yeah.
So you will have time to get this in
and done,
and all the logistics of it, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
That's going to be special.
Yeah. We were blessed because, like, we have to, a lot of the musicians, there's about 30 musicians that are travelling abroad to come to do this.
30 to coming over from oh, wow. From other countries?
Well, I think we've 7 coming from the States. They're coming from London, they're coming from Madrid, they're coming from Hungary, they're coming from Denmark, I hope I haven't missed a country. I knew I shouldn't have said countries individually because I'd forget one. They're literally, and they're all friends of mine that were involved with music with me 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And I just said, anyone, absolutely count me in. And they're all paying for their own, like, everybody is paying €25, the same price as the tickets, to participate, so that the money will all go to Brain Tumor Ireland. Yeah, they're coming. Like, one of our drummers is coming from San Diego. He's a pilot over there. He was one of the original drummers in Riverdance. You know, absolutely, wow. I'd love to do it. You know, like, this one of my viola players is a viola player with the BBC Philharmonic. She's coming over to play with us. They're coming from the Garda Band, the Army Band, RTE. They're just, it's just, the word went out and people jumped on board.
That's lovely.
It's nuts. It gives you that real, oh my God, that warm feeling that people are, they're seeing beyond the fun. Well, they're looking at the fun that's going to take place anyway. Just imagine 200 of me together, like, you know, and some of us haven't seen each other for 30, 40 years and we're all meeting, you know. It's amazing. It's just, and that's with the singers as well. Now, our numbers in the singers went down because of COVID, because a lot of choirs couldn't get back together. And even now with this new strain of COVID going out there, we've one or two that has said, Barbara, I've just tested positive. So it's like watching that like a hawk. But our numbers, like our choir, I think is at about 250 now at this stage. The orchestra is just under the 200 mark, which is still ridiculously
that's
huge.
A big orchestra.
It's massive. Like 11 double basses, and we have a waiting list. Like, we have a bassoon on a waiting list. Who has a bassoon on a waiting list for anything?
Is there anybody out there with a bassoon on a waiting list, please?
You know, it's nuts. It really is. You know, it's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
It really is. But it's testament to yourself and the amount of work and the energy that you've put into this, because believe me, anything that you put your mind to always seems to come to fruition. That's
I haven't done it all. I have two brains, we'll call it, involved. Two real people. They're part of the volunteered committee because nobody was asked whether they were told they were doing it. And in fairness, because my memory actually, it is probably the biggest thing that bugs me about this whole thing that's going on. My memory is horrendous. Like, I could be standing in front of you going, talking to you. I know you're running, and then gone. The name is gone. And then people would say to you, oh, that happens to me all the time. Really? Not to this extent, darling. You know, I get into the car and Paul, where am I going?
Yeah.
You forget, you know, silly things like that bug me, but you get over them.
It's kind of like a brain fog sometimes.
You know, and I know I'm going, where did I say I was going to? This kind of a thing. Yeah. But do you know what? That's what you have people around you for. And that's one of the reasons why I was so public. Maybe not intentionally that was the reason, but I was so public with everything that was going on at the start. I was always afraid I would be somewhere and something would happen and nobody would know. Mm. So the whole world and its mother literally knows what's going on. So if Barbara ends up in a heap on the floor, someone will say, well, she needs to go to hospital because, you know, so everybody knows. No matter where you are, everybody knows something.
But I think the most important thing about that as well, and obviously you're at home and you're putting up a post or whatever, you might be talking to somebody, but without even realising it, you're more than likely helping 1,000,001 people in the sense that they're probably empathising with exactly what you're saying, what you're doing. They're probably in the same similar situation to yourself and they say, well, wait a second, this lady seems to be defeating it. She seems to be, you know, a positive mental attitude here. That's the way I should go too. Yeah. So without realising it, you're more than likely helping all these
people. I wasn't
aware
of anything like that up until, I think about 6 to 8 months into it. A friend of mine, ironically a bassoon player in France, got on to me and she said, Barbara, I just had to tell you something. And I said, didn't know what she was going on or where this was going to lead to. She said, from reading your posts, she said, an awful lot of things struck a chord. And she said, I went to my GP and I said, I want to be tested for this. And it was based on what I had been saying had been going on. And it turned out she had MS and wasn't aware of it. So I suppose with the best or funniest or lighthearted of intentions, by putting stuff up like that, you are hitting people that you didn't realise you were affecting. And I've had a lot of messages like that. I mean, as I always said, if there's a day that you can make one person smile, happy days.
Yeah, it
you
is
know,
happy
days.
Yeah.
And for her, as she said, to be able to get the diagnosis meant that she could continue on what she was doing, knowing that, okay, there's a clown in Ireland and she's doing this and doing that and the other, I can do the same. She can't play anymore. She's, like I said, a bassoon player. She can't play bassoon anymore, so she took up kettle drums. Or is it kettle drums? Is that what they're called? You know, the Caribbean drums?
Oh yeah, the kind of, well, it's
steel
kind of
drums.
Yeah, steel drums.
So she took those up because she can play those. And it was like, well, hey, so there is another way around things. If you can't use one part of it, another part of it. Like, I'm not allowed to drive a manual car anymore. I have to drive an automatic. And I was kind of going, shit, But Monotomy Medicare is great. It does everything bare, clean your teeth. You know, it's they're great things.
Of course they are. And I think that that's the most important thing about it. You know, you adapt to the situation at hand, you deal with it and you move on. You
absolutely.
Know, it's like keep calm and carry on, pretty much.
I mean, there's been rough days as well.
Yeah.
An odd one here and there. Very few, thank God. Very, very, very few. The biggest drama, will tell you how into context I put stuff. My driving licence was due to be renewed. And I had the form all filled out, and I had filled out all the boxes that I wanted ticked into the doctor as usual. And he looked at me and went, not sure I can do this one. And I says, what do you mean? He said, 10-year licence. And I went, yeah. And he said, look at you. And I kind of went, he says, sure, what? We don't know what way you're going to be in 10 years' time, in 5 years' time. So I think I'm going to tick the 3-year one. And I burst into tears. And that was the first really sort of, oh, there's some, and it really rattled me to the core. Yeah. But his answer kicked me back into touch. Think of it this way, Barbara. Everyone else has to wait 10 years complaining about the photograph. You get to change yours every 3 years. That was it. Frank session over and off.
Yeah,
and went to the next thing.
I think that's the thing about
and that's
it.
Lovely.
Yeah,
that's what you need. You just, every now and again, you just need to boot up the backside and say, come here, put this into touch.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing about it is, obviously, you know, you are dealing with health issues. And as you said, there's times that we're all the same. We need to be just kind of dragged back and said, no, look after yourself.
Yeah.
Before you look after something else, which is most important.
Yeah.
I just want to wish you the very best in your health and in your wonderful talent as well, which we're all delighted to say that we hear on a regular basis from an orchestral pit. And it's great to be around you, and it's great to have the energy from you. But make sure that you book tickets for this, guys. Christmas in June in aid of Brain Tumour Ireland, the 26th of June. Put it down on paper. You're staying down in Waterford for the night. It's just going to be a bit of crack, of course, and everything else. And you're helping a very worthy cause in the SEPTU arena. Eventbrite.ie is most important. Mm. Yeah?
By the way, Ron, it's something I forgot to tell you. We had the programme all sorted, and one of my friends in Cork, Aoife, our librarian, who was shipping all the music all over the place to people, as we were putting, she said, there's another piece to go in there. And I said, no, there isn't. That's the whole lot. And I had my list written down. She said, no, there is. I said, no, there isn't. There is. And we eventually, what are you talking about? She said, there's another piece gone in. It's called On Such a Night. And I was like, what is that? I didn't put that on. And she said, no, you may go talk to one of the others. So I rang another one of them. I says, what's this piece that's after being put in? I don't know. What's in it? What's it about? And it turns out when I had sent out the initial email to people telling them bare backbone of the story and what it was about and why I was trying to do this or whatever, there was a guy called Greg Scanlon, who's one of our singers. He's in the choir. And he was so taken by the whole thing that he wrote this piece On Such a Night. The subheading on it is Selfless Spirit, and it's for BFD. And BTI, so Barbara Fleming Dowling and BTI. So it was written.
Beautiful.
What an honour for someone to write something for a musician, by a musician, because of something that, you know, that's been put together for musicians. So it's been premiered on the night.
And did you write the full piece
the
in
thing,
for
the
orchestral?
Choir, full orchestra, the whole lot, everything. The whole lot was done for...
That's special.
For that night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
You haven't heard it, have you?
I've never heard it, and I don't want
to
hear it. And we've had 2 weekends of going around the country to where choirs had a choice of turning up, singers to go through the stuff. And every time they'd come to that piece, I'd disappear because I didn't want to hear it. And so so it'll be raw. Even when they're rehearsing it, I've already been told I'd be thrown out. The schedule is done and you won't be around at that stage. All right, okay.
But the nice thing about it is, for the amount of work that you've put into it, along with the other brains, as you call it yourself, I think it's nice that you have something to look forward to on the night, apart from the night itself.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really special.
Yeah, so do I, to be quite honest.
I have a funny feeling there might be a few Kleenex beside you at that stage.
A few? I reckon a box now at this stage, per piece.
Well, I just want to wish you the best in your health and everything else. We'll keep an eye on you. I'll see you a lot anyway.
Most
definitely, we'll hear you and we'll see you. But I wish you the best in your health and in your career and everything else. And to Paul, of course, and to Oisín, to all the crew. And keep that positive mental attitude going, because it's working wonders at the moment.
Thank you.
And you look great.
Thank you.
So that's pretty much it. That is our podcast, podcast number 12. And thanks a lot, Barbara.
Thank you, Ronan.
Thank you.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
If you would like to purchase tickets for Christmas in June, log on to eventbrite.ie now. And season's greetings.